So the dichoy that we started last week, so I'll just review what we basically said. We saw, I won't review the major things, just things you need for this week. We saw the concept of dichoy mi'ikara, which means something which is dichoy from the beginning. From its very get-go, it already has been, madche from its avoda, for whatever reason. And the main topic is by kachim, but it comes up in kedushin and it comes up in sukkah. So dichoy means if something is, for whatever reason, for this point in time, it can't be good for korban X or korban Y. Does it stay that way forever? What if the dichoy goes away? Could it be good again? So that's a shaila. So that's dichoy mi'ikara. The one that's more pashut is when it's nira. It was good, v'nitche, it became bad, and then venira again. That case seems to be everyone agrees that it can never be undone again. It's no good. Dichoy mi'ikara, the first one I said, where it starts off dichoy, so we assume basically that it's not a problem. It could become undichoyed. But Shitas Rab Yochanan is that dichoy mi'ikara is gone. It's like nira v'nitche, it's gone. Okay, it's a classic machlokas by dichoy mi'ikara. And then there was sort of a third category we saw, which was dichoy bedamim. Dichoy bedamim. Dichoy means something that just has a kedushas damim. Is that enough of a category alone to be able to create a status of dichoy? Okay, and then there's a separate topic of dichoy by mitzvahs. So it's really four. You say six topics. What else you got? No, I'm saying I see four categories. I see dichoy mi'ikara. I see dichoy v'nira v'nitche. Anira v'dichoy v'nitche. Anira v'nitche v'nira v'nitche v'nitnira. Good. And then I see dichoy b'damim, and I see dichoy by mitzvahs.
Dichoy by surim.
What? You want a separate category by dichoy by surim? By kedushin? Okay, gemara kedushin. Yeah. Okay, good. So, where I want to start today was first continuing off of last week, but a beautiful chiddush I saw in this sefer, a beautiful hezber, I should say, in the sefer Shirei Iyun HaTalmud by Rav Abba Berman, and you have the Mar Mokum, I pasted it on the back. Very difficult, as I said before. It's one of the hardest farm I picked up. Is safer on, in general, his farm, and then the one on Kachim is just. What? No, last week was. Yeah, last week we quoted a little bit of him at the end. After in different, he had a tweak on the Bris Kerov. Exactly. This is a different Yesod. So take a look at the piece. I have it there in the back, and. This is the first time his sefer is ever being learned with General Tzau's. All right. Kosvu Tosus in Kedushin.
I wouldn't take that
bet. What? I would take a bet, for sure. You wouldn't? I would maybe even take the bet that if a shear's ever eaten while learning the sefer. But that's a little bit more risky. Right. But the General Tzau's?
Is it on Hebrew books or on the internet?
No. No. Thank you. On the bed. Okay, so now Rav Abram says follows. He quotes the Tosus in Kedushin. Thank you. He quotes the Tosus in Kedushin, which says like this. I'll set this up. Last week we discussed why the Gemara had to mention a separate chiddush of dichoy by kedushas damim, separate than a case of dichoy mi'ikara. Any case of dichoy by kedushas damim is going to be a case of dichoy mi'ikara. Meaning, if it's dichoy at the beginning, while it's just kedushas damim, that is dichoy mi'ikara. What's the difference? So the Gemara had to find a situation, a hecha timtza, where it's one without the other. And that's what we dealt with last week. I'm not going to deal with it so much again, but I want to give you the chiddush. So he says, the Tosa says, Ashkenamik Dujavigad Lord Dichoy Meikara, we have such a thing as Kedushas Damim, even though it's not Dichoy Meikara. Kagon Hamafrish Nekeva Lepischo, you separate a Nekeva for your Korban Pesach, which is not good. Veyalda Zachar, and she gives birth to a male, have a Kedushas Damim. That's Kedushas Damim. Because the ain Pesach bomb in a keva, because the Pesach can't come from in a keva, but lo havi dichoy mi'ikara. And it's not dichoy mi'ikara, shaharei havlad roi lahakrib. Because what's dichoy mi'ikara? The mother's never going to be good for korban Pesach, that's not even the shaila here. The kid that we're talking about, from the get-go, the kid was good. So the kid is not going to be dichoy mi'ikara, because that's good. Shaharei havlad roi lihikariv. So there you have a case of dichoy bedamim, of kedushas damim. Because the value of the mother is only Kedushas Damim, and therefore that's a case of Dichoy by Kedushas Damim. So this is his question. Tzarechian. Tahare al Havlad Mitzad Atzmo. Ain Inyun Dichoy Klal. There's no shaila of even dichui at all on the kid. Tahare roi la pesach tu zachar. It's good to go for a korban pesach. V'chol hadichui, the whole inyan of dichui here is mitzara'im. She dechuyam a pesach v'kena keva. V'alaheim hare havi dichui mikara. And by the mother, it is dichui mikara. It's knocked away from the beginning. Im kein memela shadichui alavlad hu gam dichui shal dichui mikara. The dichoy of the child is going to be at its initial stages a dichoy mi'ikara at the beginning. So how does Tosus write that there's no dichoy mi'ikara since the kid itself could be likarev? At the beginning stages, it's just the mother. The child's an extension of the mother. At the beginning, it's going to be dichoy mi'ikara. What? So he says like this. This is his own hesver. Beautiful way he says it. He twists one word and the whole sugya changes based on that line. The nira deze yesod lidvareinu la'el. This is the yesod for what we said above. Forget that right now. Dahachiluk bein dichoy mi'ikara. Why should there be pause here? Put your hand over it. Don't look yet. Or look, but think about it, not yet. Why should there be even a... Why should there be a chiluk between dichoy mi'ikara and nira nidche v'nira? Why should there be a difference? At the end of the day, it spent some time on the dichoy clock. It should be no good. So he says, this is the machlokas, whether dichoy meikara is good or not. Dahachiluk ben dichoy meikara l'nir v'ninkahu, sheba dichoy meikara, od lo chal din hakrava. By dichoy meikara, it never got to the stage yet of hakrava. So what? What's the svar? V'ha machlokas, the whole machlokas in dichoy meikara have a dichoy olohaya, is im shayach din dichoy al hasiba l'din hakrava, od be'inan dafka din lahakrava. Fabulous. Beautiful hesber. I'll say it like this. What's the machlokis by dichoy mi'ikara or not, if there's such a thing? He says, because the question is, when dicha is a ruiner of your korbanos, when it ruins your korbanos, does the dichoy need to be mamish on the hakrava? Or does the dichoy need to be getting in the way of the sibas hakrava? So for example, something which hasn't become roi to a korban yet, the dichoy is standing in the way of the cause of it becoming good for hakrava. Mm-hmm. It's not getting in the way of hakrava. It wasn't roi to be hakrava yet. But when it's something which was already nira and then it becomes nidche, that's the dechia settling on a din hakrava. That's the problem. So the question is, do you need the dechia to be on the din hakrava or on the sibas hakrava? Based on that hesber, he used to explain this tosis, and you could use this to apply it all over the place. And he gives you a bunch of nafkaminas. And he says, so v'lefizeh, hacha gabe vlad zachar shal nekeva, shehufresh lepisko, our case of a male child, of a female that was separated lepisko, yesh levlad din lahakrava mitzaratzmo. The vlad has its own din hakrav on its own. Kevin to huzacha v'ori l'korban pesach. But however, the din dichoy on the aim shedechuyim in pesach, kevin shehine keva. V'im ken yesh lo din lahakrava v'gam din dichoy. V'zeh kamo nira v'nidcha. Because it has on one hand a dichoy mi'ikara coming from the mother, and it has on one hand a din hakrava mitzaratzmo. That makes it like a nira v'nidcha. The chal hadichoy, meaning, because over there, the dichoy is being chal on the din hakrava, because they're happening almost instantaneously. But lo havi ke dichoy mi'ikara. Kevin to be dichoy mi'ikara, adayin ein kan din hakrava. By the din dichoy mi'ikara, means there's no din hakrava yet. V'hacha yesh levlad from the beginning. There's a din hakrava from the vlad. So therefore, it has to be a case of nira v'nitche. Al kein shapir chashra vlad, kamo nira v'nitche. Beautiful hesber. He gives a few more nafkaminas like that, but that's a wonderful svara. That's a beautiful svara, and he's already given us a couple. And you keep that on the side. That idea is a very nice idea. Why should dichoy mi'ikara be any different? Why should it be any different? People say, oh, dichoy mi'ikara is worse. It's there longer. Something. No, it's there before the hakrav is chal. That's also said that svara. It's not his own. What he's adding is that extra touch. Hamachlokis im shayach din dichoy al hasiba l'din hakrava. Oh, to be in a dafka din la hakrava. That's the way he's reading. Okay.
However.
Yeah, please.
If you hold,
first, however, on that. Yeah.
If you hold uber yerachimai bechamekar, and the zachar dichoy mekar you can tie.
I don't know if there's any sugya that extends dichoy into an uber.
Really?
I might be wrong. I don't know every sugya in Dichoy. But I... It's not even Nira Ba'olam yet. It's not even... You know what I mean? It's not even in the world. It's not even... I think so. I think we'd have to look at each one, but I have a feeling it doesn't. You know what I mean? Okay. So fine. Yeah, shook it over there. That one down there, Mr. Banks, down there. Good. Oh, that? That's something else.
I think.
This I don't know about. Okay, you missed a good svara. All right, move on. Now, that was the Shir Ian Talmud. The svara over there, I have it in brackets for you on the back. You can take a look at another point. Okay, I wanted to make another ha'ara now. This comes from the Sefer Zera Avram. The Zera Avram is written by... It's Chidushim Bir Mishas Poskim, the Chidushe Ambekor. So it's written by Rav Avram Luftover. He was a Chassin. He was a great grandson of law. He was a great grandson of the Orsam of the Meshach Chachma, of the Valar Sameach. He was one of the Gedolim. I think they got rid of all of his farm. Right? He was one of, like, also with the, what's it called? They got rid of all of his farm in the wars. Like, only one left. Rav Avram Luftover. He was supposed to be, he was contemporary to Rav Nachum Zemba. And the Zera Avram was considered, both of them were considered two great minds who were killed, right around the wartime, and all of their stuff was lost. So the Zera Avram, he used to correspond with Rav Nachum Zemba. That's what it was. So he has over here a beautiful Ara. I have the Marmar Komos in here for us to follow it. You can go back to the front page.
He was a chassid, despite being the lineage of the...
Who said chassid?
I thought you just said that.
Chassid. No, not chassid. I don't believe it was chassid. Okay. So you look at Tosfos in Sukkah, Lamed Beis, Amid Aleph. Okay, I gave you that Tosfos there. It starts in Lamed Aleph, Amid Beis. On the top. Yeah, on the top. See, it starts there.
By Asherah.
And Dumaska Asherah. So the Tosus there says, "Deim neima, if you say yesh dichoy etzel mitzvos, im kain. If you say there's a concept of dichoy by mitzvos, why am I lulav shel avodah zara not all kosher? If you have a lulav that was of avodah zara, and you take it, it's kosher."
Gemara says it.
Why should that be? So Tosus answers, the Myrishin is Batal Erev Yontif, you are Nisvatal at Erev Yontif, Kodim Shiagiyaz Mana Mitzvah, and that's why it's Dichoy Mi, and therefore Dichoy Mi Ikara. Okay, so even if you hold Dichoy by Mitzvahs, here it's not a problem because it was Dichoy Mi Ikara. Before the Zmana Mitzvah kicked in, you already, it was Avodah Zarah, you were Mavatal it before Yontif, and therefore it was never Nirav Nidcha. Meaning it's assuming by dichoy by mitzvahs, again, against Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? So that's Tosus. Now here comes the Zera Avram. The Kashali. I have a question on this. Dahare mavur b'yavamos. It says in Yavamos, Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Chaltzasa b'sandal shel Avodah Zarah.
Right.
If you do chalitza with the sandal of Arazara, chalitzasa kashera.
Right.
Okay, and Tosfos writes in Sukkah that we must be talking about a sandal of Avarazara shel akum, and it's after bittel, right? Meaning because a Jew can never do bittel on that thing. They have to break it in the whole nine yards. You can't just mevatel it. So, but a non-Jew could just mevatel it, and it's good. So it must be a case where the non-Jew was mevatel it. So we say, wait a second. And there you don't have the answer like we had before, whereas Mavatal Erev Yontif, before it had a chance to be anything. This already is a shoe. It's shayach to the realm of Chalitza already at that point. There's no Erev Yontif here. So if that's the case, why would this be good? So he says as follows. Shuv Ra'isi. I saw further the Sefer Achlaner who talks about this. Okay. So he says as follows.
We're not talking about korbanos at all here, is that right?
We did. Now we switched over to the realm of mitzvahs. Okay. All right. So he answers as follows. You understand the question? Tell me you don't understand the question. Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah defended, they want to prove that there's such a thing as a problem of nira v'nitcha v'nira, but there's no problem of dichoy meikara. So if that's the case, why is a lulav that you had of a vodazara and you're mevatalit, why is it kosher for shaking a lulav? That was nira v'nitcha v'nira, and that should be no good. So we say, no, that was dichoy meikara. How do we know? Because you did it erev yontif. You're mevatal erev yontif, or is a chefza shal mitzvah. Okay, what about then he asks the Gemara in Yevam, this allows the chalitza shel avarazara, where you're mevatal the avarazara, the goy, and he gives you the shoe, you could use that, right? That's not tichoy mikara. That was a shoe already for ready to go to chalitza already at that point. That's not tichoy mikara.
Isn't there some kind of like difference between a shoe and a lulav?
What do you have? That's the answer, but what's the answer?
Yeah, I know. I assume that's the answer, but I got to figure out what.
Okay, it's a beautiful answer.
The lulav, the mitzvah is intrinsic to the lulav. The shoe is just used to effect the mitzvah.
I need a chefza shel mitzvah by shaking the lulav. I have the lulav. I need a chefza shel mitzvah by chalitza. I have the shoe.
On a separate issue, what is that stuff?
What's this?
That.
What?
Rice.
No, this.
Oh, the pans, cakes, to make the beef. The
night.
It's the leather from the chalitza sandal. No, it's you make the mushu sandwiches.
Open it up.
Yeah, make a mushu sandwich.
Oh.
Okay.
You got to know the
mushu in there. You couldn't figure out the difference between the chalitza and the lulav. Like the mushu we can figure out. The mushu we can answer. Okay, right. So let's give it to Eretz. What's the difference between the...
I can give me the airlines to wipe your face.
That's great.
That's right. No, okay. I'm like a mushu down.
A mushu down.
We're talking about the shoe chalitza, not the mushu.
Yeah, not the mushu. Yeah. Okay. So what's the difference between the two? It's a beautiful answer.
Between the shoe and the lulav.
Andrew wanted to say that there's a difference. One is a chefza shel mitzvah, one's not. But they are both chefza shel mitzvah.
Right.
You know. So he wanted to say this. He quotes the Yerushalmi Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza, that a kol modim besandal shel ir hanidachas shu kosher. You have a sandal of ir nidachas used for chalitza, it's going to be kosher. Why? Because it says, right, it's ketute mechta shira. It's got no shir, something which is omed lisarf b'mir dapa. So cholutz hana'al, should remove the shoe. Now mikol makom, says the Yerushalmi. So what does that mean? So Zera Avram says, Vahainu kevan da hamitzvah hi bechalitza sanal, velo b'ne'ila sanal, v'dafka hechi sha mitzvah hi b'vyoso b'cheifetz ala adam, aze havea cheifetz ha-mitzvah, u'mishu mechta tshiure, ava k'shekiyum ha-mitzvah hi b'hasaras ha-cheifetz, az ein ha-cheifetz mitzvah, velo mitzvah b'shukduch shari. What he's saying is, the shoe is not a cheifetz shal mitzvah in the same way that a lulav is. How is it different? The difference is, the mitzvah is the removal. Right. It's the anti-chefetz chefetz. The lulav is the bringing of the chefetz. The sandal's the removal of the chefetz. When it's the removal of the chefetz, that's a whole different thing. And he says, V'yesh lomar ha-chanami, svara nisgaleel, le'inyan dichoy, dechi amrinan dichoy etzel mitzvahs, that's dafka by a lulav. Da mitzvah by yaso is a chefetz. Kamo a lulav gufo yotzvinatil a gufo mitzvah. And therefore, dichoy makes sense. But by chalitza, the mitzvah is the removal. Therefore, it's the lack of the chefetz, which is the chefetz. And therefore, by that, there's nothing to be have dichoy on. There's no chefetz to have the dichoy chal upon. And therefore, that's why there's no dichoy by mitzvahs by chalitza, while there would be by lulav. That's what he wants to say.
Lack of chefetz.
There's a lack of a physical chefetz by chalitza, meaning the mitzvah becomes the removal of the chefetz, not the bringing of the chefetz, the getting rid of, the absence of chefetz. The deleting of chefetz is the mitzvah. So I need a chefetz that's an active one for me to have my dichoyon.
Isn't there any meaning that the shoe for chalitza has to belong to the guy?
Yeah. Okay. It's got to come from him.
Yeah, but if it's from a shoe from and that guy, presumably it's not his.
And he doesn't have the same dinim of bailus,
and he can't own it.
Chalitza is without the shoe altogether.
The shoe is not me'akev.
That's one of the big differences.
Yeah, you have to say it. Try to have it come from. It's not me'akev. That's it.
The shoe is not me'akev.
That's it. Okay, so with that, why did I wanted to bring this one up? We're not doing a whole tracing the whole thing in mitzvahs, the kachim shear. So I thought with this, you could solve a kachim problem. The Agoin Melissa. Okay, tons of svarim from the Gon Melissa. Chuvas Agon Melissa. This is a city, right? In France, where's Lisa? Lisa's in France, right? Chuvas Agon Melissa, Nesivas. So, Mona Lisa Shkoyach. So he has a question. He says, by a shofar of an ola, you have a shofar of a korban ola. So, once you use it, mi'ila, someone's moil in the animal, so that it loses, the animal loses its status of hektish once someone does mi'ila on the korban ola, and it becomes a chulin animal. It becomes a chulin animal. So therefore, at that point, the shofar is kosher. So the Gon Melissa says, why should that be kosher? It's dichoy meikara, because before the me'ila, it was also litkoa, but it was also to be tokeh in it. That's dichoy meikara. So based on what we're saying, you could answer that by a shofar, what's the mitzvah by shofar? What's the brach we make a shofar? Lishmoa. Classic lumdis by shofar. The mitzvah is on the kol that the shofar produces, not on the shofar itself. The mitzvah is on the shmias kol. And therefore, since the mitzvah is in the shmias kol, there's no inyan of dechia when it comes to the shofar. The inyan of dechia is only by lulav, not by shofar. And therefore, since it's in the shmias, I mean, that's controversial, it's in the shmias. It's a little bit of both, says Rav Gifter. He has a whole piece where he says there's both. You need the chefza and the kol. But all right. Most of the lumdus leans towards the side that says it's just on the voice. If it's just on the voice, then that's why Ein Kol B'Gzela and the stolen shofar case and all that kind of thing. But you see, I think you could apply this far to that case of an Ola Shel Shofar. Okay, that's why I wanted to share that one with you. So we have two.
What about, I know it's separate, but like, so if it comes from a different animal? Horn from a different animal?
Horn from a different animal. Yeah, what about that? What? Say what? Say again? Sure, there are dinim in the shofar. We have dinim and rules to the shofar, but that still doesn't mean that the mitzvah is in the shofar. Meaning, you always said you could have rules in how something's done. The way the sandal looks in the chalitza, it's not irrelevant how the sandal looks, but it doesn't turn it into the chayfa to the mitzvah just because it has rules and how it manifests. Okay, it doesn't mean that's just because you get rules doesn't mean you're the object of the mitzvah. And the shofar is still the object of the mitzvah, but the main mitzvah is on the kol, on the voice itself. Okay, so that's 2 points. So we saw the svara from the Shir Iyun HaTalmud, which I think is a significant svara to unlock the whole sugya. And then this little piece we saw right now was a nice svara to be able to explain... to explain what? To explain by mitzvahs a little bit, which mitzvahs get techiya, which ones don't. And now I want to talk about crossing over kachim and mitzvahs together. So... the main Tosfos dealing, or the main sugya dealing with dichoy, as far as kachim we saw, but as far as mitzvah, it's sukkah lamid gimel. That there's no debating.
It's
niktam rosha. There the sugya is talking about an item. The Gemara makes a distinction lamid gimel beis between an item that was no good from the beginning, dichoy mikara, and an item that was near v'nitcha. And it's talking about the berries on the hadas and removing them, and so on and so forth.
Or
it's become near.
Back.
Or and they come back and they grow back again and so forth. Those are the cases. And the Tosfos over there, and I gave you this Tosfos, Lama Gimel Lama Aleph. Nekta me'erev yontif alsebo tamar b'yontif. It grows the berries back again on yontif, on your hadas. So Tosfos there wants to make another distinction. Maybe this is a fifth case. Between dicha mi'ikara and nir v'nitcha, maybe there's a case in a situation where a person is unable of restoring the item back to the way it was during its time that it's no good. It's ein biyado l'taken. If it's ein biyado l'saken, so that might be different than a case that's biyado l'saken. Those two things might be different. Tosfos' position at the end of this, very complicated. A lot of achronim try to figure out what Tosfos' final shita, if there is such a split, if there's such a split that can be made between biyado l'saken and ein biyado l'saken. So I'm going to summarize the bottom line shitas of what we paskin like when it comes to kachrim here, there. One, this is all shitas tosis. If you go through this tosis, this is what you get. Number one, When it comes to kachim, dichoy miikara is dichoy. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Tosas paskins that way with regards to kachim. Okay? Fine. Rambam doesn't. That's one. Number two, if a person is able to remove the cause of the dichoy, biyado l'saken, they could remove it. So, for example, give you a good example. Let's say you have a case where a kohen who is roy for the avoda, let's say he gets the blood in a kli,
right,
and then hands it to a kohen who is not good for the avoda.
Also.
Yeah, so there's no dichoy, even though it becomes unfit for a moment because he can just nem the thing back and it's good to go. Okay, so where it's biyado l'saken, there's no dichoy, even by kachim. Number three, if one is able to remove the cause of the dichoy, let's take the berries, yeah, where you remove the berries from the hadas, or where the mizbeach became damaged, or where he became a mumer, he became an apostate. So in the case of kachim, there is dichoy. In the case of mitzvos, if it was no good from the beginning, there's no dichoy. And if it was nira venitche, where the berries, let's say, darkened on yontif, and then the person removed them on yontif. So that's the case which the Gemara raises akasha. Yeah?
The converts are different things. If the convert is the case of if the person changes, is that dichoy? And there's also a Gemara somewhere. If the din changes, is that a dichoy?
We looked at both last week. At the case of the mumer where his status left,
right,
and we looked at the case where his avera changed, where the beis din gave him a hara,
right,
like a by horius.
Uh-huh.
Number four from Tosus: if a person cannot remove the cause of the dichoy, ein biyado l'saken. There's a shaila in the case of mitzvos, even if it was dichoy miikara. You understand? Dichoy miikara by mitzvos we don't usually say. But if it's ein biyado l'saken, Tosus raises the issue that maybe even by mitzvahs, dichoy mi'ikara is no good. For example, you have a case of a hadas who's hit the top of it, got cut off before yontif, and a berry grew from it on yontif. Number five, case where a wind causes the blood to be covered, that's ein biyado l'saken. Because such a case, a person's not obligated to uncover the blood and then recover it again. Okay.
But that would happen after the Gemara. The Gemara.
What?
Gotta happen after.
Right. That's Menachos, and that Sukkah also brings it up. That's after the fact.
Right.
Yeah. So Rashi makes no difference between Biyado L'Sakein and Ein Biyado L'Sakein when it comes to mitzvahs. Tosus raised the question when it comes to mitzvahs. When it comes to mitzvahs, by Dichui Mi'ikara, is there a chilek between Biyado L'Sakein and Ein Biyado L'Sakein? Rashi says, when it comes to mitzvahs, there's no shaila between biyado l'saken and ein biyado l'saken. And he makes no distinction between the case of a hadas whose head was cut off, ein biyado l'saken, to the case of too many berries, which is biyado l'saken. So, if you take Rashi's shita, there's going to be a stira. According to Rashi, there's going to be a stira. Why? Because the Gemara on Sukkah Lama Gimel Abayz says, in a case where it's no good, it's eino nira from the beginning, dochoy miyakara. In mitzvahs, where we know there's no dichoy, right? By mitzvahs, there's no dichoy. When it's dichoy mikara. And the problem is, there's a question raised in Lama Gimel and Aleph by a hadas whose head has been cut off.
Then it grows back.
Then it grows back. So Rashi solved that by saying, if you see Rashi and Lama Gimel and Aleph, well, I cut the Rashi's off, but it's on the right. Yesh dichoy, and he says, Va'akshav, the Gemara doesn't make a difference between dichoy mikara and nira venitcha. Meaning, according to the Gemara's conclusion in Rashi, a hadas whose head had been cut off before Yontif and a berry grew from it on Yontif is certainly good. It's nira, even though the Gemara on Lama Gimel and Aleph implied that it being good was a shaila. In Tosas, on the other hand, they say when a hadas's head was cut off, where it's ein biyado l'saken, that's a shaila even if it was unfit from the beginning. It's only in the case where the berries are more than the leaves, the Tamar Merub Ma'alin, where the berries are more than the leaves, where it's biyado l'saken, there that there's no dichoy mi'ikar. So let's clarify Tos' position. Where you have biyado l'saken, there's no such thing as dichoy mi'ikar by mitzvahs. But when it's ain biyado l'saken, Tosus will say that dichoy mi'ikar applies by mitzvahs. Rashi says, no. Biyado l'saken, ain biyado l'saken. Dichoy mi'ikar, ain o dichoy. Nira v'nitcha v'nichoy is gonna be a problem. Okay, he makes it simple. So what's the Hesber in Tosis? And this gives us this is basically said. This is classic raid. Shagas Aryeh has this. Many has this. How to understand the Svara of Tosis? Dichoy by Kachim. Go back to Dichoy by Kachim. What do we know about Dichoy by Kachim? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Dichoy Meikara, Dichoy, it's gone. Even Tosa says, Dichoy Meikara, whether biyadu or not biyadu, when it comes to Kachim, is gone. It's done. Nira Venitche, though, is going to be, and also that's certainly gone. Okay. So, says Tosas. This is the Hesber in Tosas, according to Shagas Aryeh. The whole din of Dichoy in Kachim is based on the special status of a Cheftza having Kedusha. What does that mean? A sacrifice, a korban, a zevach, has the status of Kedushas Mizbeach, sanctity for the altar, and that's what allows it to be offered there. That's what matters it to be offered on the Mizbeach. The law of Dichoy by Kachim means that if the sacrifice, for whatever reason, becomes unfit for offering, its status of being a Cheftza of Kedusha has been impaired. This we haven't seen yet. This whole Mahalach we haven't seen yet. The question regarding Dichoy in Mitzvahs is whether or not there's a parallel status of a Cheftza when it comes to Mitzvah. I'll say this again. This is critical stuff. When it comes to Kachim, the reason I could bring this to the Mizbeach is because right now it has Kedusha's Mizbeach. If something happens that I should lose it, the reason I can't bring it onto the Mizbeach is because the Cheftza lost its precious ability to go onto the Mizbeach. The Shaila of whether Dichoy applies by Mitzvahs or not is whether there's such a concept that a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah has a certain Kedushas Mitzvah to it, and it could lose that status of Kedushas Mitzvah because of Dichoy. Is there such a notion that you lose a status of Kedushas Mitzvah so long that it cannot be offered as your Mitzvah, so to speak? That's the Shaila. So, since the person bound the Hadas together while it was no good...
That'd be a dime.
What?
That'd be a dime.
Yeah. And the status, I would say the gether of it being a lulav shel mitzvah, was applied while it was temporarily no good, it stays no good forever. Meaning, because for a brief moment in time, I had a cheftza shel mitzvah in my hand that lacked Kedushas HaMitzvah, whatever this new category is, the Shagas Aryeh is building, since it lacked the status of Kedushas HaMitzvah, it's gone. It's
what
gone.
What number of Shagas Aryeh is it?
What?
What number of that is
it? Lamed Dalet.
I always look him up. I love him.
Great.
One of the great brains.
So now how do we fit that in with Biyad Olasakin? So let's tie in Biyad Olasakin. So Tosus wanted to make a chiluk in the realm of Kachim between Biyad Olasakin and Ein Biyad Olasakin. So for example, if you have a coin who was good, and he received the kli, and then he gives it to the kli with the dominant, and he gives it to a guy who's no good, an unfit coin, there's no dichoy, because even though it's nira, v'nitcha v'nira, well, it should be gone. No, because it's Biyad Olasakin. That's what Tosus wanted to say. So he says like this. The fact that the sacrificial blood is in the hands of an unfit Kohen, that doesn't impinge on the Cheftza of the blood. It doesn't touch it. It's untouchable. Imagine the Cheftza being the blood in the Kli. Imagine it's being surrounded by like the cone of silence, by the cone of Cheftza around it. You can't touch it right now. Because when it's Biyado, it's as though it's protected, even while it's in a state of tchia. Meaning that the psul there is in the gavra, the one sprinkling the blood. The cheftza is already gold. It's untouchable. So the law of dichoy isn't going to apply there at all, because dichoy is based... What's the Shagas Aryeh's mahalach? That dichoy is based on an impairment of the kedusha of the object, not an impairment in the person bringing the object, an impairment in the object itself. This object was great. It was passed on to somebody else. However, if for whatever reason you're incapable, if it was not biyado of returning the blood to a fit kohen, then this chitzonius idea of it being in the hand of an unfit kohen, that would begin to break down the protection around the walls, and it would ruin the cheftza as well. Biyado serves as like a shield, so to speak, to protect the cheftza from having its kedusha ruined. But if it's eino biyado to go back, then the very cheftza begins to get ruined. The very cheftza begins to get damaged. Okay, for that time the blow will be no good for sprinkling, and if a sacrifice that can't be brought to the mizbeach, it's not going to have the full status of a mizbeach. But if he's able to bring it, it means that even though it can't be done right this time, it's still the cheftza still has some ability to survive. Okay, that's what it means. Now let's go to the third area. Take damage done to the mizbeach, which we talked a little bit about last week. Take damage to the mizbeach. So damage done to the mizbeach, that affects the status of the mizbeach. Because right now, you can't use it. Can't use it. Mamish can't use it. Nothing I can do. I can't use it right now. The case of a mumer, the owner of the sacrifice is now unable to bring his korban. He can't bring his korban. There, says the Shagas Aryeh, there it ruins the very cheftza in those cases.
Yeah, but
meaning, how's he going to explain that?
It's
very dachistic what he wants to say. But I had it before in my head. Let's try again. He claims that damage to the mizbeach and a mumer, they actually affect the intrinsic essence of a korban itself.
It's biyado.
He's calling that eino biyado. Why is it eino biyado?
Yeah, why? Because he can fix him as biyach and the woman can
right.
Do tshuva.
It's obviously biyado. But what he's saying is it's like something which is eino biyado. Why is it like something which is eino biyado? See, take the case of the kohen where he passed it on to an unfit kohen. This cheft... I got it now. I have it back again. This cheftza... Here we're going to say it. This kli... that had the blood in it, even though I gave it over to someone who's unfit to be a kohen, it's still kadosh and viable. Why? Imagine the kli looking out of its eyes still sees an option that's viable for it. There's a viable option for it in the world. In the case of the mumer, it doesn't see any viable option, the korban, for it to be brought. It would need the person changing status.
Right.
In order to be viable. Right now, at this present moment, that person isn't around in the world. That's the difference. That's a very almost a new age svara. Right now, is that ability to be saved, is that salvation there in the world? When it comes to the kosher kohen, yeah, he's right next to me. The unmumer, he's not there yet. He may never come to be. Right now, all I have is a mumer standing right here. That's ein biyado. Yes, it's biyado, you have control. But just like ein biyado affects the kedusha, this will also affect the kedusha because the salvation, the hatzalah, is not here right now. It's not here right now. It's not in the world. It's not pain. It's not here. The mizbeach is broken right now. Do I see a fixed mizbeach anywhere? No, I don't see a fixed mizbeach. The difference, not going to be if I had two mizbeachos next to each other and this is on a broken mizbeach. That's biyado. So I could just put it right here. They involve those issues, but separate. But you see this, that's the svara he's saying. That makes a lot of sense. In the case of a mitzvah, though, this is where it gets nice. In the case of a mitzvah, even if we say that there's dichoya mitzvahs, and there's the status of kedushas, like cheftza mitzvah status, like he wanted to apply by kachrim and mitzvahs. So the cheftza has no independent content other than the fact that it's waiting to be used for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Therefore, since it's a case of biyado l'sakein, even though it's going to be made in the cheftz itself, it's still going to be good for the mitzvah. Oh, this is getting hard. This is getting hard.
Right, it's a very deep in you.
It's different than kachim. Meaning we just made a split and explained why even though we assume biyadol osakein keeps the thing kadosh, by kachim, if right now it's a case of mumar or a broken mizbeach, since the psul is right there, the psul is right there and there's no way out, it can't be fixed. But when it comes to a mitzvah, that svara wouldn't apply by a mitzvah if it's biyadol, even though it's intrinsic. Why? So I'll read it again. Because even though in the case of biyadol osakein, even though the tikkun is going to be made in the cheftza itself, meaning it's not there right now. Let's say the same svara. It's not there right now. Right now it's not there. Still the cheftza is going to be called good for mitzvah. Why? Oof, it's hard. What's the chiluk now between a mitzvah and kachim? Why should there be a difference? Got
bigger,
it.
Bigger kedusha on the thing.
No, I got it.
Because the mitzvah's on. You're talking about the point of view of where the thing happens, right? So the mitzvah is on the person to do. So if it's biyado to change, then it's okay. By kachim, it's the kedusha of the chefetz, and therefore you have to take the point of view of the chefetz. So if the chefetz basically it's like you know, kind of using an analogy, it's looking out and doesn't see an option, that ruins it. But by a mitzvah, it's not that the lulav is in itself, you know, doing a mitzvah where it's, whatever the equivalent of muktash is for mitzvahs.
Right, good.
It's rather that the person, the user of the object, is the one who's doing the mitzvah. Therefore, it's
right.
From their point
I would focus less on the user, but you're right. It's about the difference between the objects. By a korban, the kedusha is intrinsic to the korban. So therefore, when it's biyado or it has a way out, it's going to be okay. The kedusha is not going to be impinged. By a mitzvah, even if you want to say there's an entity called the cheftza shel mitzvah, which can be attacked and can be intruded upon, its whole uniqueness comes in the fact that it's waiting to be used for a mitzvah. It's waiting in line to be used for a mitzvah. So even though something may happen to it now, since I can potentially do something for it, it doesn't look... I'll say better. What makes kachim special that it's kachim? It's that it's inherently kaddish. What makes a mitzvah special that it's inherently a mitzvah? That it's waiting to be used for a mitzvah. Kachim, if it's biyado l'sakein, if it's biyado l'sakein, so it doesn't ruin the kedusha, but if the biyado l'sakein is there, but it's not there yet, it means it's losing its very thing that defines it. By the mitzvah, the very thing that defines it is its ability that it's going to be used for a mitzvah. That still has that. It still has that potential, in theory, to be used for a mitzvah. That's never been hurt. It might have suffered a setback, but it's never been taken away. It still has the possibility, the future possibility, by korbanos. The question is, how does it look now? What's the weather now? by mitzvahs, the question is not, what's the weather now? The question by mitzvahs, what's this thing looking like? Is this looking good for us in the mitzvah world? I think that's a simpler way of saying the difference. By kachim, you have to ask yourself, what's the situation with it right now? With it right now. Now. So you could say it's being held by a non-kosher kohen. But right now, though, it sees it's got a good kosher kohen right next to it. So right now, it's okay. It's still good. But in a case of a mumer, right now, there ain't no rescue. Right now, it's bad. Go to a mitzvah that has some psul that happens right now on it. So you have to ask yourself, how's the future looking for this mitzvah? It's looking good. That's fine. That's good enough. By a mitzvah, you look at the future. By a kachim, you look at now. I don't know if the shagasari is saying exactly that, but I think that's enough of a chiluk that'll work for all the cases. Okay.
Is why a bad question?
What?
Why
the distinction?
Yeah.
No, it's a good question. And the answer, that is easy. The difference is because korbanos, its very uniqueness to this animal, to this behema, is that it lives in a world of kedusha. The mitzvah's ability is that it's by its nature a mitzvah is a mitzvah because it's something which I'm going to be able to be used for some. It's this tree that I'm going to eventually be able to use for a lulav. It's its eventuality of mitzvah, which is a mitzvah. You hold the mitzvah before you use it. You're about to enact it. Every stage of a mitzvah is always right before I'm about to enact it for a mitzvah. The korban becomes a korban before you even shecht it. It is already in its kedusha. It's very a being. Its very present being is already part of the experience of kachim. The very being of a mitzvah is nothing. It's just a mitzvah. It's not nothing until it's used. You know what I mean? The mitzvah is nothing until you use it. Until you use it, the future is more relevant by a mitzvah.
What about a sefer Torah or something like that?
What? Even if you don't use the... So, oh, you're saying... No, but then you got to go to Shem Hashem.
Kedusha... Inherent Kedusha, you know, like...
That already gets to a different realm. I mean, that's why I want to stay simple with lulav and shofar and things like that,
yeah, but
which are not Kedusha Hashem.
You're spinning a pretty broad theory here.
Yeah.
You know, and
so you want to go to things...
With all the data.
Yeah, that's fine. If you take things like Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, which have the Shem Hashem on it, so that might be a different category. We know that already for many sugyas, where you have the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Kedusha itself. Things that serve Kedusha, Tashmishei Mitzvah, three categories. Megillah. Three categories. Tashmishei Kedusha, Tashmishei Mitzvah, and Kedusha. That's three categories. Now it makes sense? There are three categories. So we're not dealing with the third category today. We have this too.
But
yeah.
Can we say one other thing?
Yeah.
It might be a little disruptive, but
no, we're already
it seems to me that the Talmud doesn't know the answer to this, because there's six, I looked it up today, there's six different places where the Gemara goes on with different kinds of things, with back and forth, and they all end with Tekun. There's Koy Mashiach Shinas Tarea, where the Koyin got Saras, can he then bring an oil of Yored? Is he considered in the category of poverty? He'll never go back to poverty. It also has to do with Melech. It has to do with Shabbos, what if you're being mighty? It's below the shear and the thing shrinks or gets bigger. Again, the Gemara says,
I think that's what makes the Tosa so hard.
So that's over and over, six different places, not with Dichri. They're like,
by the way,
back and
by the
forth,
way, very good.
They're all Tekus. So,
by the way, we have a Teku, doesn't mean we don't have an answer.
No, that's why you have
Teku, it's very simple to answer. That actually easier. When you have Teku, you have to ask yourself, is this situation deraisa derabanan? If it's deraisa, safik deraisa l'chomer. If it's derabanan, safik deraisa l'kula. Every teiku is easy to paskin on, because once you have a teiku, you have to ask yourself, is it deraisa derabanan? And I'm done. I don't have to think. I have to go through the sugya, figure which way this. So that might be an argument that makes it easier. But you're right. Tosas is struggling
paskin,
because...
But we don't know what the truth is.
Well, that becomes the truth, and then you get into metaphysical
right.
halacha.
Right, exactly.
But
that's always the case. With
but a teiku is always the case. Meaning, a teiku is easy for a posig. Because they just need to ask, is there rice derabanan, and let me figure out safik derabanan al kula, safik derabanan al chumra. I don't have to worry more than that.
Mara says that.
Yeah. So one more area we need to explain iptosis to fit this all in together, and if we could do it, then we saved it. If not, nispar de chavila. Okay, here we go. Tosfos made another split between dichoy miikara and then nira venitche. Dichoy miikara and then nira venitche. So that which we said about the Cheftza, again, between Nira Venitcha and then Dichoy Mikara. So that which we said by a Cheftza of a mitzvah, that if it's Biyad Olasakein, it retains its sanctity as a mitzvah, because it has the potential to be used for mitzvah. It's as though it's fit, it's Roy for a mitzvah, just needs some tweaking. That only applies where the mitzvah object was no good from the beginning. But if it was good, and then it became no good, so it might be, and the Gemara leaves it as one of the takes, it might be permanently no good. How does that fit with everything we're saying? So even though, when it comes to a cheftz of a mitzvah, we'll say the object became a cheftz of a mitzvah, and then it lost it, it can't go back to being good again. That's the basic idea. It can't go back to being good again. However, if from the very beginning it was biyad olasakein, it's not yet called a cheftza of mitzvah. Meaning, since from the beginning, if it was dachoy miyikara, but it was biyad olasakein, it might not have the cheftza of mitzvah yet, but where it was good and then lost it, that's different, because then it already had the cheftza of mitzvah and you've ruined the cheftza of mitzvah. That's like we said with the hakrova thing at the beginning, hakrova and siva. Okay, meaning just like prior to you making the binding of your lulav and everything, according to the opinion it says lulav tzarech eged, that a lulav needs binding, there's no cheftza of the mitzvah, so too in our case, there's no cheftza of mitzvah before you do this, the tikkun. And finishing all the preparations, all the hachanas, that's a condition for getting a status of mitzvah. But in the case of ein biyad olasakein, all possible preparations have been completed. And therefore, it has the status of a cheftza of mitzvah. And therefore, it's going to be no good, even if it comes back again. You understand the split by dachoy mikara? By dachoy mikara, biyad olasakein, not biyad olasakein, I don't care yet. Why? Because it hasn't been a chefetz shel mitzvah yet. But once it's been a chefetz shel mitzvah, and then it loses it, well, if it's biyad l'sakein, so it's able to still hold on to its mitzvah identity. But if it's ain biyad l'sakein, it's lost its mitzvah personality. It's lost its personality, and it's got no hopeful future, which is the main question when it comes to mitzvahs. Okay? Fine. Now, that possibility, though, doesn't exist when it comes to a sacrifice. Why? Because the status of cheftz of a korban begins immediately when you're makdish it. The moment you're makdish it. By a mitzvah, there's no parallel act as being makdish something. Mental designation, hazmana, is just as the Gemara says, hazmana be'alma. Lav milsahi. It's nothing. The fact that I think this will be my lulav, that doesn't do what hekdish does to an animal when I'm makdish an animal. There's no such thing. The status of cheftza shel mitzvah depends on the readiness for it being a mitzvah. By a korban, it's not that way. And that's why we would have a split. When it comes to a korban, right? This we never asked. Why by korban is it more machmer that dikhoi mikar is dikhoi according to more shitas? By a mitzvah, not that way. You know why? Because by a mitzvah, it's not even called a cheftz of a mitzvah yet. But by a korban, even though it's mi'ikara, it still was a korban. It still was a korban, even though it was dachoy mi'ikara. It's just not a good korban, but it was a cheftz of korban when you're makdish it. This is not a cheftz of mitzvah. It's a cheftz of mitzvah once you ready it, once you put the bun.
If you're makdish an animal that actually was no good, had a mum, right?
There's and some things that the kedusha is not chal on at all. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't count. You're makdish nothing.
Yeah, like
makdish popcorn.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything.
So why isn't popcorn dichui mi kara? You know, what's the difference between popcorn and a...
The nekeva from the
korban pesach. Yeah. See, if you're makdish popcorn, it's actually kedushas damim.
Yeah.
It's kedushas damim. That's good. That's kedushas damim. Okay. That's fine. It's kedushas damim.
Right.
It can never become nira. It's not even a good case to bring up because it could never become... Nira for what? For a korban? It can never become nira. It's nothing to talk about. What are we saying? What are we worried is going to happen?
So we're saying, you makdish an animal with the mum and the mum goes away.
A
mum over. You makdish an animal with the mum and the mum is over. So that's the sugya of dachay meikara. That is the sugya. You were makdish an animal. That animal had kedushas korban. Maybe limited to kedushas damim shel korban.
It was dachay meikara. At the time,
it's no good. It's not fit to being a korban, but you were makdish something.
At the time, you're makdish.
You're saying it's nothing at that.
At the time, you're makdish. It's equivalent to popcorn.
It is. Right?
No, he's right. It is popcorn. It's kedushas damim.
But suddenly, the moon goes away, and without me saying anything,
and it becomes kedushas korban.
Whole thing is a problem in the Talmud. We even learned with you. It comes up in Kashrus Chozer V'Nir.
Chozer V'Nir, right?
This transformational idea is something they never solved in the Talmud. Because it comes up in a million ways. It comes up in the Indian of Brera. You could apply Brera to all this and change this whole sugi around. They never cleared this up, and that's why there's all this discussion.
All this confusion.
It's
so
not
what time
confusion,
is it?
It's discussion.
Okay, so I want to conclude with this. So we made two questions as follows. We asked, one, does dichoy apply to mitzvahs? So you could say that there might be no concept of cheftza of mitzvah that's similar to cheftza de kedusha. Shagasari wanted to argue there maybe is some crossover. And then we said, assuming the concept of dichoy does apply to mitzvahs, how far does it go? B'yad l'sakein, ein b'yad l'sakein. We discussed all that. Rashi with Tosfos. I put you a Bala Mor there who weighs in a third shita over there, but it would take us too far down the rabbit hole. We would never come out. So, and we did this little sugi at the end. This is a major one. We did the piece at the beginning, which was the Svara from the Iyun HaTalmud, Siba versus Dinak Rava, and then the Zera Avram, which was the Chiddush of the fact. What did Zera Avram say again? Zera Avram said with the shofar. Oh, the difference in chiluk in mitzvahs. One's a cheftza, one's the anti-cheftza, which is the chalitza. All right, and you combine it last week. I think we did enough of. I think we covered more than a share of dichoy. All right, go.
All right, thank you.